Wow, do we have something to tech about, where every episode focuses on ways students create digital evidence of active learning.
As a Google for Education district, students and educators alike have free, unlimited access to apps that support creativity, collaboration, communication, and critical thinking, all elements of 21st century active learning.
We are Google for Education certified trainers, Drew and Angie, with
Something to tech about. Innovator, podcaster, and author Casey Bell of Shake Up Learning gives big props to Google Slides as the Swiss Army knife of the Google Suite. And Drew and I think she is spot on. Google Slides is so much more than a presentation tool. And in today's episode, we're going to focus on creating and publishing with some of the built-in but lesser-known features of Slides. And then we'll get into some templates and add-ons and finish up with some interesting ways to tech it up a notch while using Google Slides.
We would like to mention Common Sense Media website as a resource for a guide to help students navigate a world that is ever-changing. Angie, we're hoping that our listeners after today's episode will be saying, I didn't know Google Slides could do that. So let's start talking about some of those features that maybe others, you know, aren't familiar with.
Sure. We've got a few things ready to roll here. One of them is that Google Slides, you can change the orientation and the size of a slide. You're not stuck with the default size and landscape. You can create them as portrait slides as well. You have all sorts of different options, and that's under file and page setup. So depending on what you want to do with the slideshow once it's finished, whether you're going to, say, download it as an ebook or create PDF files from mm-hmm. it, maybe you don't want them all to be landscape. You'd like to change that up a bit. So you have some options there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I have to admit, SlideMaster was my saving grace. And I did not find out about it until not just recently, but it's been a while now, mm-hmm. but I never knew it existed. So the SlideMaster is where you can go in and change the entire presentation's font, color, images, things like that by just going to Slides from the tool menu to the Edit Master, and then you can edit the Slides template for all of those different features.
Right. No reason to freak out if you get to the end of your slideshow and be like, oh, I really don't like that color mm-hmm. or I don't like that font. You don't have to click on every single slide. You can change it right from the master and make edits very quickly.
And another confession, I still often find myself going to each slide to edit, and I don't know why, but just confession time, I guess.
It's time to make friends with the slide master,
exactly.
Drew.
I agree. It's just not built in yet. One of the next things really helps with productivity, especially with students sometimes, because they get caught up in their backgrounds and
oh my
the
gosh,
font
they can spend so much time on that
yes.
and forget the content. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there are themes that are offered, you know, just depending on what you're requesting of your students.
But they're limited. There's only so many.
There is. They are limited. And the great thing is, if you visit slidescarnival.com, you can actually search their themes and download them for free. And you can easily import them into Slides. I know a lot of times when we're presenting, oh, where'd you get that mm-hmm. background? Well, we got it from slidescarnival.com. And then they're off on that looking for theirs.
And you can use it on PowerPoint as well, P.S. But
yes.
It's a Google show, so we'll stick to that. So in our last episode, we mentioned the Explore tool that's located down in the lower right-hand side of your screen, whether it's for Google Doc, but it's also there for Google Slides. And it functions a little bit differently in a Google Slide because it can not only search the web and your drive for content or images, but it can help you design some layouts. It gives you some pre-designed layouts mm-hmm. that you can go ahead and add to your slideshow mm-hmm. as you're building. So very convenient. And for those of you that, and I'm going to put myself in this category, that aren't maybe graphic designers and maybe, you know, minded in that mm-hmm. sense, having Google do that for you in advance is a real help.
Agreed. You can put images into a Google Doc. They're there. It's difficult to format them. So if you're looking for something that's going to include a lot more images, Google Slides may be your best friend, because within Google Slides, the formatting of images,
it's pretty powerful.
Yeah, you can actually crop, the recolor, resize, and then also export single slides as different files, such as JPEG, PNGs, and SVG.
So in terms of students who might be needing to format some images for a project, they would not even need to have a third-party free image formatter. They could just use Google Slides as their editor, and it's really helpful.
Another thing that teachers may want to pay attention to, again, is the accessibility options from the toolbar menu. And again, it helps screen reader supporters as well as magnifiers. So,
and you know, the magnifier is great for students, but you know, sometimes people in their 50s might want to have a magnifier available. Just saying. Forget your glasses, no problem. The magnifier's in there for you.
So if you're interested in any of these and want to know more, visit our show notes at somethingtotechabout.com, where we'll have this and other resources for you.
Connect with us. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at ST Tech About. Be sure to subscribe to Something to Tech About on iTunes, Google Play, or Spotify, or listen from the podcast collection from the Savannah Morning News. So in terms of presenting a Google slideshow, there's more to it than just clicking next, 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 next. And I think that it's really...
Death by PowerPoint.
Yes. Yes, that's what we should call this segment, How to Avoid Death by PowerPoint. Google Slides has a very interesting piece called Audience Tools. So if you're in your Google slideshow and there's a little drop-down button beside the Present button that gives you some options with Presenter View, and then you can present with Audience Q&A and also view your speaker notes while the audience just sees your actual slides. And the cool thing about that is that your audience members can go to a little URL and they can add questions. So in terms of having like a back channel and having that interactivity, it brings the audience right into your presentation instead of just being a talking head kind of thing.
Right, and those questions do not appear on the screen, correct?
Not unless you want them to.
Right, right.
Yeah, the presenter can flip over and add them if they want, but
okay.
No, not typically. That gives the audience members the opportunity to ask it somewhat anonymously.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What other ways to publish and present? Let's say you don't even want to. You're not standing in front of a crowd. You're just going to send this slide deck to an end user for whatever reason. They can be downloaded as PDFs, as PowerPoints even, JPEGs, but you can also do a file published to the web. And then you can put your timings in and it can advance automatically. That piece, if you wanted to have your slide deck, you could embed it on a Google site, or any other site for that matter. But it can almost become a video.
Right.
So in terms of creating maybe like a webinar.
Yeah, and the publish to the web can help with those that don't have emails, so they're a little bit more accessible to everyone, just a thought, instead of sharing through emails and stuff like that, too. So publish to the web, it's available to anybody.
So there are some add-ons that can help Google Slides become more interactive as well. So not only using like the question-answer back channel piece, there's an amazing add-on called Pear Deck. If you're not familiar with that, people, you want to install this add-on. Drew, why don't you give us a rundown of why we want to do that?
Interactivity.
So what?
Yes. the Pear Deck just adds another layer to a Google slide deck so that the interactivity with the kids, you can stop and ask questions. They can rate where they are. Pear Deck is wonderful because it splits it up. They have templates that you just put in there for the beginning of a slideshow, for the middle, and for the end. So like an opening question or something to think about for the students. And you can opt to show the answers that the students are putting on the slide for everyone to see. Or you can keep it anonymous and only you see it. I think that just adds another level so that we're not just reading off of a slide.
Exactly.
And students actually have to participate.
Right. So they're not just passively sitting there listening to information, because we know that that's not, you know, the best way to learn something. Not everyone is an auditory mm-hmm. learner. So mm-hmm. we want to have other opportunities for them to be involved. Mm-hmm. One thing that Pear Deck does that I think teachers would really like is that the students have their own device. They can have a copy of the slideshow on their device, and as the teacher advances the slide advances on the student screen as well. Mm-hmm. So if there's a question that's asked, the student can go ahead and type in an answer or interact with the slide, but they're not going ahead, and they're able to stay more on
exactly.
track and be involved.
The teacher slideshow controls what the kids are seeing. So if the teacher is not advancing, the students can't advance right. through the slideshow as well. And I believe, isn't there a self... It could be student-paced as well, that they can, I believe so. I think it's Pear Deck, that the students can actually pace through it and not have the teacher control. So if there's a particular assignment that they're working on,
like in small groups,
they can go
or
at
something.
Their own pace okay. as well.
I haven't tried that feature. Mm-hmm. But one thing to say is that teachers, if you're interested in using the Pear Deck add-on, you also want to add the Pear Deck Power Up extension, because the more interactive things you add to your Pear Deck, the more power it's going to need to mm-hmm. run. So you're mm-hmm. going to need to add that extension to your Chrome browser so that it works the way you expect it to.
I'm going to kind of skip to one because it plays together, I guess. It pairs with Pear Deck as well as any other type of slide deck, is Screencastify for slides. And this is also an extension. I know a lot of teachers sometimes ask, well, you know, I really want to create a tutorial or create a lesson because I'm going to be out and I want the substitute mm-hmm. to
just play my mm-hmm, content.
Mm-hmm. Screencastify does that. And what it does is actually record your screen and your voice. You can actually have, I know some research, and I can't quote where I read it at the moment, but students are more apt to be involved in the lesson if it's your voice, and possibly sometimes you pop in using your webcam to show that, yes, it's really me for that particular lesson that you're creating.
So this add-on, Screencastify for Slides, will easily help you navigate to all of the Screencastify videos that you've already recorded. So it just sort of makes a nice little link from your slideshow to your Google Drive, and it pops it in really mm-hmm. easily.
Really easy to use. One of the other add-ons maybe we want to mention could be the icons for slides. You can search hundreds of icons from the sidebar of Google Slides.
And you can change the color. Any color that's available on the web, you can customize the color to go along with your presentation. So this is great for students in terms of also teaching them about copyright-free images and things of that nature. So mm-hmm. these are all free.
Nice.
So take some time to explore these add-ons in our show notes. We'd love to see how you're using some of these add-ons as you publish and present with Google Slides.
The International Society for Technology in Education, ISTE, is a nonprofit organization that serves educators interested in the use of technology in education. Visit www.iste.org for student and teacher technology standards and resources for integrating technology in your classrooms. So, one of the questions we all come back to a lot of times that we have to ask ourselves is the why.
Why
do we want to use slides in the classroom and in other areas? And what Angie and I are going to do are kind of give you some ideas, and in our show notes, we'll link to some, and we'll have some templates of some of the ones that we may mention, but we're going to kind of categorize them, I guess, into the four C's, keeping those in mind. And again, those four C's are communication, collaboration, critical thinking, and creativity. So, Angie, why don't you start us off?
All right. Well, some ideas to focus on communication, for example. We already hit on using them as interactive presentations where the audience is participating along with the presenter. Mm-hmm. So that'd be one. Another way would be using them for pre-writing activities, getting kids to compose at the keyboard by using something like Caption This. Give them an image and having this, then have the students come up with their own maybe newspaper headline that goes along with it. Or using them as 10-minute writes. Put an image in, write for 10 minutes.
And I think we mentioned that in an earlier episode, so there's lots of ideas back there, too.
We do. And then we have, in a previous episode, we mentioned using Google Slides as portfolios. Mm-hmm. That would be something easy like making an ABC book, math folios, autobiographies for students and things. And even the nice thing about slides is that you can download them as a PDF and even upload them as an ebook. So for communication, those are just a few ways to use them without just clicking next, next, next.
Yeah. Collaboration, I kind of like this part, and the capabilities of Google Slides is definitely a collaborative piece, so they can collaborate on notes. Are they doing research? They can use slides as their note cards for brainstorming. Mm-hmm. So those are just a few ways to collaborate within a slide deck as well.
Yeah, back when we did research when we were kids, we had to use actual index cards to keep track of our work. That would be one way to...
And then they'd get all shuffled up and, yeah.
Yeah, you can shuffle your own slide deck around and use that instead.
Yeah.
Google Slides, believe it or not, is really amazing. It provides amazing opportunities, rather, for critical thinking. If you can just stick with me for a second, creating a choose-your-own-adventure book, if you start with one slide, and then at the bottom of the slide, there are two options, you know, go forward or go back, for example, in the story, you could hyperlink to those words, and then depending on how the student wants to decide where to go next at the end of the slideshow, the slides can be hyperlinked to different slides throughout the presentation based on the decision that the user might make. Mm-hmm. So it's a really fun thing for students to create. One that we keep seeing around on Facebook all the time is a stop motion video where you can put images on a slide, put an image on a slide, and then on the next slide, move it over a little bit. On the next slide, move it over a little bit. And it almost makes like an interactive digital flip book.
Yeah. Animated.
Animated. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's what I'm looking for.
There you go. And another one we often see is the red ball challenge. I'm not sure of the in and outs of this, but you have a set of students and you set up, it's in Google Slides and there's just a red ball. They have the same background and the devices are set up side by side. On the first student device on that screen, the red ball starts bouncing and then somehow it bounces onto the next screen and then the next screen and the next screen and, depending on how many devices. Yeah, it's very entertaining. So that's something you might want to get your kids involved in with that critical thinking. How are they going to get the ball from one screen to the next screen on a different device?
I mean, the timing that goes into that and the working together and the decisions, that's a really amazing activity. I can't wait to do that with my students this year.
And also, the sequencing activities is good for science fair. So if you are going through your experimental part, it kind of goes back up to the note cards. I mean, you can organize all of your research there.
Your hypothesis, all of your data. They have great charts in Google Slides and such.
And then come time for science fair, you could print those slides out and put them on your triptych board and be
download
good to go.
PDF. There you go. Our last category, rather, is creativity. We don't have a whole lot in this one, which is kind of crazy, probably because I made this category and I'm not the most creative person.
Not true.
But using Google Slides to create games or game boards, creating your storyboard in terms of if you're writing a story, you can have things set up from, the setting and the plot and all that.
Well, it's kind of on that same line. You can do comics.
Love comic
strips. So create a comic strip where it's suggested that you, what do you call the little things in the comic?
Frame.
One frame is one slide. So you don't have to worry about dividing your slide, or you can divide it into four, however, many you would like. But I like that idea too. That kind of falls in, it absolutely falls into the creativity section. The games. Did you mention the games?
Very briefly. Go ahead.
I know a lot of teachers like to do reviews, like using Jeopardy. But if you turn it and let the kids actually create these types of games.
Put them to work.
Put them to work. Exactly. That also kind of fits into the critical thinking as well, because you want them to ask questions that are more of a
higher level,
in-depth,
yeah,
questions that have the players of the game really having to think about it. So those are a few that you can find in our show notes, just the list. And if we come across a template of a Jeopardy, which I think we could probably do, we'll certainly post that as well.
And we'd love to add more to this list. So if you have ways that you are already using Google Slides by teching it up a notch and using them for creativity, critical thinking, collaboration, or communication, we would love to share that with our listeners. So you can go to our show notes, fill out a form, or even just send it to us via email at somethingtotechabout@gmail.com. Share your success. Reach out to us with questions or success stories at somethingtotechabout@gmail.com. We look forward to your messages and could even include your ideas, questions, and successes in future shows.
This wraps up episode 4, where we shared ways for creating, presenting, publishing Google Slides. So thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website at somethingtotechabout.com, where you will be able to find some resources and a few templates to help you out. I don't even know where to begin. Hold on, Zach. Sorry.
I didn't know Google Slides could do that.
Ugh.